Time now for the Border News Roundup with Marshall Hellmerger. Marshall edits and publishes The Timber Jay, a weekly newspaper serving communities in northern St. Louis County. Welcome back, Marshall.
Well, thanks, Scott. Glad to talk to you.
Yeah, well, you've got a good news business story right there in the Tower area you're reporting on this week, groundbreaking for Lampa Manufacturing. First, remind us what Lampa Manufacturing makes and tell us how successful they've been.
Yeah, well, they make a couple different product lines, one being wood furnaces that are designed, you know, for whole house heating. They sit in your basement. They tie into your forced air ductwork, and those have been very, very successful. They also make sauna stoves, which are very, very nice as well. The interesting thing about their wood furnaces, though, is that they are the only wood furnaces in the world that have, at this point, met 2020 emission standard that was established by the EPA under the Obama administration. Their furnaces are so clean that they stun the folks at the testing facilities where these furnaces are, you know, have to go through very rigorous testing. And when they're done burning the one of these stoves for, they have to burn them for several hours, and they pull the filter out, and they said normally they're just black with soot, you know, when they're using a typical stove. But when they pulled out the filter from a Lampa Manufacturing stove, it's still just barely a little tinge of brown on it from the soot. So, I mean, this thing not only beat this 2020 standard, which is a very rigorous standard, it beat it by over 40%. So, I mean, these things are unbelievable. You know, right now they don't have a tremendous market share. They have not been able to meet market demand. They've been in a very small, old building for many years. It always limited their production significantly. And so now this expansion should allow them to greatly increase their production. This will basically triple their production space and also allow them to set up a much more modern manufacturing process compared to what they've had over the years. So this should be a huge development. I mean, right away, they expect to have this increase the number of employees from about 6, which is what they've had for several years, to about 20 initially. And the hope certainly is that the company, once it starts really getting its product known more widely, will really come to dominate the market. And it's a big market nationwide and also in Canada. Certainly, there's an expectation that this could be a very big operation at some point in the future. I mean, a multi-million dollar company that could be employing a lot of folks here. And they pay, you know, good wages. You know, they're in the $20 an hour range with benefits, things like that. So these are good jobs, and it's a very positive development for Tower. And I should mention that the IRRB is working with the Tower Economic Development Authority to finance this project.
All right.
So a very nice development to see happening in Tower here.
Yeah. Now, the unemployment rate is down on the Iron Range in general. You've got an analysis. What have you learned?
Well, it's interesting, you know, because we've been hearing about this, seeing some of the news reports, and we've certainly been aware that the workforce has been very tight, which, you know, tends to happen when you have a lower unemployment rate. We had done a story about that a few weeks ago, but I wanted to look into it a little bit more. We'd been seeing some reporting suggesting that a boom in the steel industry was maybe behind the low unemployment rate. One of the nice things about digging into stories sometimes is you find out or learn about other data tools that are out there online, and it turns out that the DEED, the Department of Employment and Economic Development, has a great tool that I was able to access. They've got just fantastic data on jobs and employment. So we were able to really zero in on where the jobs are, what kind of jobs, and it turns out that there has been some recovery in the taconite industry, but there's very few additional workers compared to where we were 3 years ago. What's happened is we saw a dip in 2015. You know, there was that downturn in steel, and we had the, you know, Keytac and some other operations. North Shore had some layoffs, and that reduced the number of workers in the taconite industry. Now they've basically since rebounded to about the same level as we had in 2015. But at this, during that same period, we've seen the overall unemployment rate in St. Louis County and here on the Iron Range drop from about 8% back in 2015, even when the taconite mines were doing fine, to about 4% today. So that rebound in steel probably doesn't really account for that lowering of the unemployment rate. So we were able to zero in on some other industries, and it turns out there's growth in some, and there's been declines in others. But what it really looks like, what's happened here, is that this improvement in the unemployment picture and also the tightening of the job market reflects the fact that we have more and more people leaving the workforce in our area. I was able to talk to Mark Phillips from the IRRRB, as well as Eric White from Deed. He's based in Duluth and basically oversees the jobs pictures in northeastern Minnesota. They both said that the unemployment rate does not necessarily reflect the number of people working. It's affected by, as people leave the workforce, whether they're retiring, you know, or disabled or disenchanted, as they move out of the workforce, then they're not counted in the unemployment rate. And that appears to be what's happening here. It's not that we have that many more people working in the region. It's that we've lost a number of people from the workforce. You know, and one of the things demographically, this area has a very large glut of baby boomers. And, you know, every year we are losing more and more and more of that baby boom generation to retirement. So they're leaving the workforce. We've also had some, you know, population decline as people leave the area for whatever reason. The bottom line is that, yes, that's helped the unemployment rate decline, but it's also really tightened up the jobs market out there for employers. They can't hire workers these days. That's become a real problem for employers up here, is just finding qualified workers. So it's an interesting situation that we're experiencing here, you know, because for so many years the focus has been on we need more jobs. The situation today, though, is we really need more workers. Mm. It's going to be difficult to grow the economy up in this region without having new people coming in to start filling some of the jobs, because there are plenty of jobs here. There's hundreds of jobs, decent-paying jobs available up in our region right now, but you know, employers don't have workers to fill them.
And that makes me wonder if Lampa Manufacturing is going to be able to find the workers they may need.
That's been the $64,000 question with them, because there are other companies on the Iron Range that have been struggling to hire people like welders, and that's, you know, one of the types of skills they're going to need at Lampa Manufacturing. So yeah, that's definitely been a point of discussion. I mean, they're certainly hopeful they'll be able to find workers, that, you know, but I think they recognize that they're probably going to have to, you know, boost wages a little bit. Interesting, though, in talking to Eric White from Deed, he said there hasn't been a lot of increase in wages in the area, which he said is sort of unusual given the tightness of the labor market. So this is an unusual situation that we have here, but it's definitely impacting a lot of businesses.
Is there any proposals as far as job training or education, any kind of public policy proposals that trying to address this?
The IRRRB has been doing some things. They've certainly been focused on trying to provide skills training, particularly in areas like welding, where there is a huge amount of demand. They do have a mobile classroom that they can, you know, move from site to site, you know, usually working at the community colleges, but they can be in Hibbing 1 year for maybe 2 or 3 years, they can be there, mm-hmm. Then they can move it to Eveleth, or they can move it wherever they're needed. So they're doing things like that, and they're also trying to address the child care issue. In fact, for the first time this year, the IRRRB funded infrastructure for a child care center, because that's obviously a major component of workforce, is having affordable child care. I mean, that's one of the factors that is keeping, you know, some people out of the workforce, obviously, is that they don't have a place to have their kids be safe while they're at work. It precludes them from taking on a job. So they're trying to address some of those issues in order to help expand the workforce some.
All right. Well, I'm sure this is an issue we'll be following well into the next year for sure, maybe even longer.
Yeah, I would expect so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, finally, let's talk about the Abaris Region Fair. It's always a kind of a milestone and a signal of the end of summer. One of the last local fairs, I think, that occurs in the summertime.
Yeah, that's right. And it's always a lot of fun. It draws a lot of people. They've got a lot of things going on there. A lot of these fairs will, over time, they kind of lose energy. And especially if you have a group that's put it on for many years, and, you know, people get older, they get tired, and sometimes, you know, you can lose initiative. But fortunately, the Embarrass Fair was able to finally have a transition to, like, a new generation of people to run it. So it's like it's been reinvigorated, it seems like, in the last few years. They've got some really popular events there. In fact, tonight from 4 to dusk, they have the team penning competition, which is folks on horses. Steers run out in a pen, and then they have to go out there and lasso them and tie them up, and they also have to pen them as well. That's always a fun competition. And then there's live music till 10 o'clock tonight. And then Saturday, there's events all day long. There's the softball tournament. There's more team penning. They've got the vegetable judging. They've got a dog show, a 5K run walk in the morning. So there's tons of stuff to do. Demolition Derby, which is always popular, as well as their mud run. They have a horse show on Sunday.
Do they still have a boot throwing contest?
You know, they usually do. But I'm not seeing it on the list this year, but so I can't say 100% that you're going to be able to participate in a boot-throwing contest.
All right.
There is a horseshoe tournament, I know
good.
That.
Oh, good, yeah, that's great. Yeah.
And there's a karaoke contest, too, so hey.
Yeah, I don't have a chance. All right, Marshall, it's good to visit with you again. Thanks.
All right, take care, Scott.
You too. Marshall Helmberger, he edits the Timberjay, a weekly newspaper serving communities in northern St. Louis County. And we talk with him Friday mornings on the Border News.